Magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. It's Wednesday, November 16th, 2016. Banner week going on this end. How about you, Jason?
It's always busy.
Yeah, always busy. Oh, I love when the plan, though, comes together, and it looks like various facets for the Great News Radio Center have fallen into place. Yesterday, we made the final decisions and ordered up, I guess you'd say, specialty microphones. We wanted to have a certain kind of microphone that picks up our voice for interviews. And, you know, there's certain different kinds and variations. And I've been going back and forth with Phil Shepard up at Moody and Dyke Corson, of course, in music, and Jim Gunther, and assessing all the different options. And we finally decided on the five microphones for the new center. And then headphones. There's a gazillion different kinds of headphones and what they do. And, you know, you don't want the kind that cover up your ears, and then you get really hot and sweaty, so, you know, and then some look kind of dorky, you know. So, you know, I finally decided on the five that we'll have. And of course, in music, thank you God for Dyke. He's going to donate the major mixer board control center that, I don't know, somewhere between $600 and $1,000. He's really helping us with even the microphones and everything. He's given them to us at his cost, and so we're getting huge discounts on all the equipment and the different things we're going to have set up. So probably within that two-week window, we should have everything in and installed. And it's going to be real close to that Black Friday. I know we had talked about that early on last month, but it looks like that's coming together. And then finally getting the window up into the studio, I think, will be the last big piece. But for those that watch the Great News Radio Facebook page, or my personal Facebook page, I think it was on Monday morning, that we had the Urbana building inspector come out for the final, I guess they call it the final run-through, where they give you the official occupancy permit or license. And so we passed with flying colors. You know, they had the initial look over. Then when you get stuff set, they come by, and then they do a final inspection. And we'd already passed the electrical inspection, but this was the final kind of walkthrough on the remodeling that we did. So that was a banner start to the week. And with the Monday and Tuesday edition of Mark and Friends, the listeners that got to tune in, they heard from Dr. Corey Abney, and he's the lead pastor of the Florence Baptist Church in Northern Kentucky. And that was just one of many great God sightings. I kind of rehashed them on Monday and Tuesday. I put it in a scale of 1 to 10, that the trip was a 15, because there was just so many neat aspects, especially the testimonies on the bus. And I haven't talked to the individual yet, but I told the listeners yesterday that I'd alert them. But one of the Chinese men that was getting closer in his faith journey to accepting Jesus, I've heard that he sat down with Pastor Herb Coates and recited or read or agreed to the sinner's prayer. So I want to follow up a little more and, you know, believe that he's maybe a Christian now, but I don't want to kind of say that without knowing for sure. But I know he was been seeking in the last few weeks. He's been a part of the Alpha group, asking really good questions, and his wife's a believer. But I cherish the prayers of those that were on the bus, because as he came forward, I mentioned this yesterday, he asked a couple questions about having a faith journey and what's it like to have Jesus living in your heart. And these other two Chinese men had similar questions that we were like, wow, I mean, an evangelist would just be chopping at the bit to be in this environment where, you know, a real seeker being sensitive. You know, sometimes us Americans, we want to be argumentative, or what about this, or what about that, or maybe are hostile kind of towards the gospel, or want to voice our opinion, or what about this, what about this, where all three of these gentlemen were very honest and kind of forthright and open to hearing and listening. Mm-hmm. And I was just like, this is like the best thing happening. It was great. And then I had different individuals. They would either respond to maybe the question that was asked. And you know Elmer Zules. He was a classic. He was sitting next to this individual that I believe might be a follower of Jesus now. But I said, Elmer, come over here and pray over Andrew and, you know, answer the question that he just shared. And so I think everyone did great. And I think I mentioned this yesterday, but thank you, God, for Christians that allow that fragrance of Christ to be upon them and work its way out through them. Because all three of these guys and some of the other Chinese that shared testimonies said it was the Christians that showed love and care and compassion. And you know how I'm kind of wired, that exhortation. When I see Christians live out their faith in such a way that it's loving, it's caring, it's exhibiting the fruit of the Spirit, you know, that just energizes me. And to hear these individuals say, it's that Christian love that really left an impression on me. I want that. I want to be like that. Thank you, God, for Christians that are living the Christian life.
Yeah.
So anyway, so that was kind of the beginning of the week. And then, yesterday with all the purchasing, and then I was out at the Fisher Tower picking up file cabinets and delivering different things to the center. So it's really coming together. And then we began on Monday our first conversational English class. And I think you got to pray up with Abigail Barrett. She's kind of heading it up or supervising or developing some curriculum. A few weeks ago when I shared during the missionary moment at the Community Evangelical Free Church of Muhammad, your church, she came up afterwards and said, I have a certification with like ESL or TESOL, you know, teaching English as a second language. Do you need any help? And sure enough, she's come through and helped with some posters. And I think we had 15 different students on Monday, 7 different volunteers, which Abigail was one, and she was kind of given an overview of what's going to happen over the next 10 sessions, and Marianne Offenstein, who's staff member with the station, and Dr. Ruth Esri helped, and Herb and Marge Ketchum, Holly Burns, and myself, and thoroughly enjoyed it. In fact, nobody wanted to leave. We went from 10:30 to 11:30. And I think at about 11:45, we're like, well, we want to be sensitive of your time, and you know, and nobody was getting up to leave. So very successful start. And then tomorrow, I know of at least two others that have seen one of our posters or called in and want to know more. So we'll see who shows up tomorrow. But we just pray that God will use this as an opportunity to share with these internationals our lives, our culture, our witness. And as we talk about the holidays like Thanksgiving and Christmas, because that's our overarching theme for the next 10 sessions, they'll learn about the Lord Jesus Christ, because that's what Christmas is all about. And we give thanks during Thanksgiving. We give thanks to God for the provisions that he made for the pilgrims. And so there'll be a lot of, I hope, God-honoring conversations and helping these internationals know about these two holidays, along with, as we share some of our own lives, different things come up. So I know Herb got to share on Monday about his prison ministry, and somebody says, well, why would you do that? Oh, you know, yeah, okay, grease the skids, boom. You know, yeah, boom. Herb's like, well, you know, as a follower of Jesus, we're told to help those that are hurting, and, you know, they've made some mistakes, and the message of the gospel is to give out hope. And so they were very captivated. And when Herb says, I'm a firefighter, they're like, wow, they all leaned forward, but I don't think they knew what that meant. It just sounds like a firefighter. I said, well, do you know what a firefighter is? And then they kind of like, they weren't sure they even knew what it was, but it sounded interesting. So it was just fun defining terms and just a great group of people interested in knowing the English language. So you know, again, exhortation. I love when people want to learn and grow. And so I thoroughly enjoyed it. And I think Gary Ricketts, he's going to be volunteering tomorrow, helping out. And it looks like we have just a great core group. So, yeah, a lot going on. And then Thursday, tomorrow, we'll begin with the Conversation English class, 10:30 to 11:30. And then Joey Kroll's book signing will be like 5:30 to 7-ish. And so he'll be in with his new book, Common Misunderstandings About God, Jesus, and the Bible. And we'll have all sorts of desserts and snacks for people to enjoy free of charge. So come anytime between 5:30 and 7. You can purchase copies of Joey's book, meet with them, and you can see the progress we're making with the Great News Radio Center. And then we follow that. It kind of blurs over because right around 7 o'clock, we're going to have our Israel orientation gathering where you're going to be talking about what does it mean to be a pilgrim in the Holy Land and why you're passionate about teaching God's word on location and what these 55 members can anticipate when they go to the Holy Land on a trip with Great News Radio. So it'll be a full day tomorrow, but very excited about it. We'll be prayed up and see what God has in store for us to do. But thank you again, Jason, for all the behind-the-scenes work you've been doing, including the Singing Men CDs. And I'm hoping any day now those are going to arrive at the doorstep. We've revised CD 1 and 2. And the third CD, the new one that'll be out called Holy, 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 that should be available hopefully by week's end or the first part of next week. So you've had your fingers in a lot of different aspects of this radio ministry, haven't you?
It seems like it, doesn't it?
Yeah, that's right.
So, seems like they've been all over the place.
Yeah. Now into your fifth year, it's just been an exciting adventure. You've been with me through some really unique times, and I just delight to see what God's doing. And this new center, I can't wait to have you there. Well, you'll be there tomorrow night, but to have our first broadcast there, and you'll, I think, really appreciate the accommodations and just how it's set up and very conducive for sharing and for talks and this new sound system. Oh, yeah, we also decided on the sound system and the master control and this TV for PowerPoint and other presentations and teaching nights. It's really going to be very conducive, just the perfect accommodations for us. So excited to utilize some of your gifts at our new setting in the days ahead. So, let's see, you're preaching through a series. What's the heads up on this Sunday's message?
Well, this Sunday we'll tie up 1 Peter. We'll finish that. We had our kids Sunday last Sunday, and we just did two verses out of the fifth chapter of Peter. But this this Sunday we will finish the book of 1 Peter, and then we'll start Advent. I mean, we're right into the Christmas sprint. And so, yeah, it's been good. Peter has probably been one of the most, you know, you want to be careful because you read the Bible and you get impacted no matter what it is you read. It's living and active. The Bible says sharper than a double-edged sword. It's always working on you. But Peter has been, for me, a very powerful book. I mean, one that has really made me sit back and step back to examine myself and to examine my heart. I think a couple weeks ago we were talking out of Peter, and you know, one of the things that I just kept feeling was, you know, if we're called to be witnesses for Christ, and if we were to be in a country where persecution was happening, would we be persecuted? Would there be enough evidence of our faith to persecute us, to oppress us? And so sometimes, I mean, we look at those people in persecuted countries and we feel bad for them. You know, we feel like, oh my gosh, I can't believe, you know, in Pakistan or in Afghanistan or Syria or wherever it is, I can't believe they're persecuted. That's so horrible. And yet, on many levels, it is horrible. I mean, I am so concerned for my brothers and sisters in those kinds of places for their physical safety. But I am not at all worried about their spiritual safety.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And that's because the reason they're persecuted is because they're a danger. Because there is enough evidence of their faith. In fact, it's overwhelming, the evidence of their faith, that they would be persecuted and prosecuted. And so while I am worried about their physical well-being, but not about their spiritual well-being, here in the West, I am not worried about our physical well-being. Mm-hmm. I am not worried about any of that, but I am deeply concerned about our spiritual well-being. And so Peter really has been working on me in terms of that. This last weekend we talked about humility and what humility means. Peter says in the fifth chapter, likewise, you who are younger, be subject to the elders. Clothe yourselves, all of you, with humility towards one another, for God opposes the proud but gives grace to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, so that at the proper time he might exalt you, casting all your cares, your anxieties upon him because he cares for you. And even though it's just, you know, there it's just two or three verses out of Peter, the two or three verses, they're endless, the depth of encouragement, conviction that can come from these verses, the power in which God's speaking to us. I mean, he's telling us to clothe ourselves in humility, to wear the garments of humility. And that's difficult for us because humility is not thinking bad of yourself. Humility is just not thinking of yourself at all. I think I told my congregation on Sunday, humility is getting low to the ground. You know, in our recent kind of political climate, there was a statement that was made that said, you know, when they go low, we go high. And I want to alter that axiom for those of us who are Christians, and that is that God has given us a high calling, and therefore we go low. We go low because we need to get down to the ground. I love A.W. Tozer says, the branch that carries the most fruit sits closest to the ground. Mm-hmm. Because of the great weight of the fruit that it is producing and carrying. And so we want to be like those branches that are close to the ground because we're bearing great fruit for the gospel. And we need to do that by being humble. I think we really struggle with this as being Christians is being humble, is thinking less of ourselves and thinking more of others. One of the things that was really convicting just as I was thinking about the message, and that was, you know, in the Last Supper in John chapter 13, verses roughly 1 through 20. I mean, Jesus has walked on water. He has done miracles. Jesus has done so many amazing things. I mean, Jesus has a high standing. He has a high standing in light of his disciples, in light of the people around him. But even those who hate him, they hate him because he's a danger. Yeah. They want to persecute him because he's a danger. And so Jesus here in John 13 at the Last Supper has a high standing, and he tells them that he's going to suffer, he's going to rise again. And if we were to look by the ordinary standards of the world, Jesus would deserve to be served. In this moment, by all the things that have happened, by all the things that Jesus said, by all the things that have been done, Jesus should be served. But instead, Jesus totally contradicts the standards of the world, and he wraps a towel around his waist, and he begins to serve his disciples by washing their feet. I mean, from the heights of who he is, he goes low. From his high standing, he goes to low serving. And I love in John chapter 13 and verse 15, Jesus says, I've given you an example that you also should do just as I've done. He tells us that. I mean, he lays his outer garments and he puts on a towel and he becomes a servant. And each one of us, like Jesus, should go low, clothed in humility, and have that kind of servant's attitude and minister to each other. And Paul tells us that, doesn't he, in Philippians? Paul says, do nothing out of selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility, count others more significant than yourselves. Let each of you look not only to his own interests, but to the interests of others. Have this amongst you. What does he want you to have amongst you? What does he want us to have amongst us? The mind of Christ. Mm-hmm. And it made me think of a story. There was a story about Walter Cronkite. I don't know if we all remember Walter Cronkite. But Walter Cronkite was sailing down the Mystic River in Connecticut, and he was following the channel, and there's some really tricky bends in the channel where there's expanses of very shallow water. And suddenly, as Walter Cronkite and his wife are going down the river, a boatload of younger people go by, and they begin to wave at him. And Walter Cronkite, you know, gets a big smile on his face, and he begins to wave back cheerily until his wife says, do you know what they're shouting? And he looks at her with a smile, and he goes, yeah, they're saying, hello, Walter. And she says, no, you idiot. They're saying, low water, low water. And Cronkite wrote that story in his biography, and he said, such are the pitfalls of pride. You know, one of the unknown stories I read a couple of years ago, The Faith of Ronald Reagan by Mary Beth Brown. And there was an event that happened roughly after Ronald Reagan was shot. And he was taken to the hospital, kind of a funny beginning to the story, but he's taken to the hospital and he was in the emergency room and he is, you know, riddled with bullet holes and he is in pain and all of these things. And the story says that he looks around at all the doctors and he says, I hope you all are Republicans. Mm-hmm. But days after being shot, he was weak from his wounds and he was in his hospital room and he accidentally spilled some water on the floor. And one of the aides came into the room of the President of the United States who had been shot just a few days before, and they found Ronald Reagan on the floor on his knees wiping up the water. And the aide said, Mr. President, what are you doing? And he said, I don't want my nurse to get in any trouble, so I wanted to take care of this myself. Mm-hmm. You know, Mark, few of us will ever meet a standing president. and very few of us will ever meet a kneeling one.
Yeah.
That was the humility of Ronald Reagan, who, clothing himself in humility, didn't think more of himself, but he thought of others. He thought of a nurse that she might not get in trouble. And so he was willing to give of himself when he didn't even have to. He didn't think of himself in that moment. And I think as Christians, that's something that we need to take to heart. I really love, in fact, we recently put a little graduation thing in the yearbook for the Muhammad Seymour students, and we quoted this verse from Micah 6:8. He has told you, O man, what is good? What does the Lord require of you but to do justice, to love kindness, and to walk humbly with your God? And I think a Christian, a follower of Jesus, can ask nothing more of himself and those people around him, that we would do justice, that we would love justice, and not love justice like love politics, but love justice like the just nature and the righteousness of God, and that we would love kindness, that we would love being kind to others. And that's not simply giving, but that's also considering others above ourselves. And that we would walk humbly with our Lord. You know, when I say be clothed in humility, what I really think I'm saying is being clothed in Christ.
Yeah.
You know, I love it. And as we close, I love that verse out of Colossians chapter 3. If then, so I'm talking to all of you Christians right now who are listening. If then you've been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on the things above, not on the things that are on earth. For you have died, and your life is what? Hidden with Christ in God. And when Christ, who is your life, appears, you will appear with him in glory. That verse says that your life is hidden, that you are wrapped in Christ. And when God looks upon you, he sees not you, but he sees the Son.
Yeah.
And therefore, we go out and we serve in the Son's strength. We love in the Son's strength. We walk humbly with our God in kindness and justice. And we make a real difference.
A portion of what you're sharing was mentioned on Monday and Tuesday, you know, that we can cry out to God as Abba Father, but we're co-heirs with Christ. Christ is our brother because of what he's done for us and how God looks at us through him, so we can be co-laborers with him while we're here on earth and equipped with his power and strength and the fortitude and the determination to finish well because he's laid it all out for us.
Yeah.
All right, everybody. I hope you're energized like I am. We have a new day ahead of us. Now, if you're listening to the re-airing, well, you have a portion of a night ahead of you, but tend to your family, you know, have a good quiet time before you go to sleep, or be energized throughout the day today, serving the Lord with passion, enthusiasm, and knowing that he'll equip you for what you need to have for this very day. So thanks for listening. Thanks for being a part of our radio listening family. This is Mark Burns and Pastor Jason Schiffel with the Ministry of Great News Radio. God bless you, and have a great day and night.